The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk and listen.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
How to stay clean during an apocalypse. Plant oils such as cedarwood, rosewood, and rose are often added to soaps to impart their scents. The fruits of several native North American plants contain sufficient levels of saponin to produce lather and can be used as soaps or shampoos.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You could have been an extra in Chernobyl.
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. 4. Just call us at 816-512-7717.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Things are going to get interesting. We'll see. It works.
Yeah. Sounds like it. You know what? Just sit back and watch the fireworks, right?
Yeah. That's all I can do. That's all I can do.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm set up enough right now. If I don't like it, I could buy me a nice little truck, have enough money to live on for a while, and find me something else. You know, if it comes down to it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Give them the benefit of the doubt, and then after that, take it as it comes.
Management's changing, so...
Yeah.
Everybody knows what that's like.
Well, I mean, this is what I was taught from a long time ago, and it's true. The management positions, you're there to get fired. Because whenever something goes wrong...
I'm not going to go into it. Go ahead, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Whenever something goes wrong, you're the person that it falls on. It's like, well, I hired you to take care of, to make sure everything went right. This went wrong, so we're going to cleanse ourselves. We're going to let you go. And then everyone starts over. And the next guy may be better, he may be worse, or he may be about the same. But the thing is that's the way the system works. You're there to be clipped eventually. I've never known a manager. I'm talking about manufacturing, not where I'm at now or other places, but manufacturing.
Yeah, I'm in manufacturing, yes.
Yeah, I've never known.
Part of our company name.
I've never known a manager to scathe, to go unscathed. I've never known one. They've always eventually been fired. So, and I was taught that from day one.
Or quit,
yes. So, anyhow, I mean, if you're into that, you want to make more money and you want to go home with your gut burning and fucking puking up acid and eventually getting fired, go for it. Whatever. So, anyhow, I got better things to do with my life and not worry about shit like that. So, anyhow, I was talking to a workmate, anyhow, he just got back from a trip from San Antonio, and I mean, they work long hours and all this stuff and everything, and anyhow, he's doing pretty good. He's expecting another granddaughter coming up in about 6 months. Very happy for him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but congratulations, but kids are the best.
I'll tell him, man, you know what? I mean, you'd love him if you met him. You'd love him. He's a good guy and very funny, odd guy. Love him. Anyhow, I remembered something. We were talking about some stuff. You know, I went out of town with this guy a lot. And I remembered something after we got done talking earlier. And there was this guy we used to work with, okay? And he was a nonstop smoker. I mean, he couldn't smoke in the company truck, so that's if we wouldn't fly in there, you know, we'd have to take the company truck. And so as soon as he would go to these rest stops, he'd jump out and fucking chain smoke like 5 cigarettes, just, and then jump back in the truck, and we go. So he was such a smoker that he didn't like to leave his room. He'd like to smoke in his room. So he had this little gimmick that worked, and we couldn't believe it. He did this down in Wichita, and anyhow, he walks up to his room, and I'm down there in the lobby. I'm still waiting for my room. You know, they're still trying to figure out, you know, okay, we can give you 107 or something like that, okay? And we're sitting there waiting for our rooms. He got his first. He comes right down, and he goes to the chick at the front desk. He goes, hey, I just want to let you know, I smell smoke in my room. Oh, okay, we'll switch you out. No. I'll stay there. The whole thing is I just want to let you know that if they say something about it smelling like smoke, I went ahead of time and I told you it smelled like smoke. Isn't that brilliant? So then when he smokes...
That's why he put a towel underneath the door.
Well, then if someone complains or if they get in the room afterwards to clean it, they go, man, this smells like an ashtray. He'll go, wasn't me. I went to the lady at the desk and I told her that it smelled like smoke. And he's free and clear. It was a brilliant gimmick, and it worked. So, anyhow, me and my friend, I can say his first name, me and my friend Steve were just sitting there with our mouths open going, how in the hell do you do that? So anyhow, it was funny. Okay, so anyhow, I'm going to start off in the what the fuck department. Does that sound about right?
Why not?
The Surgeon General wants to put a warning label on all social media. Okay. Yeah, I know. Bear with me here. I'm going to try to keep a straight face.
Isn't the Surgeon General over food, drugs, and...
Yeah, he's...
Alcohol and tobacco.
Yeah, and all this stuff.
What's he got to do with the internet?
Well, he thinks he does, anyhow. Okay, I'm sure that it'll keep teens from logging on. I mean, there's so much history of warning labels working. Like, let's see, the PMRC put warning labels on the music, and sure enough, it sold 5 times more. Dumb shit. Outlawing anything in a teen's playground. It is, because as soon as you outlaw it, every teen in America is running to that. So if you say, hey,
oh my God.
Hey, we're putting a warning label on social media, the couple here and there that don't, they'll be on it too. It's one of the stupidest fucking ideas I've ever heard in my life, and it's not going to do anything. What? Go ahead.
I was just thinking, could it be to draw people's attention that ain't on it, just like you just said?
Well, he's supposed to be there to watch over and help us.
Yeah, he's supposed to watch over. But, hey, if you put a warning label on it,
it's
like you said, people are going to attack.
I remember
it's going to gain more numbers.
I remember Aerosmith thanked the PMRC. He said, "You just helped us sell another million albums. Appreciate it." And this is the same thing. So, you know, you want to help kids out. How about outlawing ridiculously high taxes? Maybe the younger generations can buy a house too. How about outlawing special interest influencing? Special interest influencing is horrible. And all it does is people are paying money and shouting the loudest, and then these small groups of people get their way all the time. It's bullshit. I could go on, but, you know, we're dick jokes, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I said enough. Next. Justin Bieber was arrested in New York on suspicion of drunk driving. The tip that led to his arrest was the new song he put out. He obviously was trashed. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, so something pretty cool that just came out. It looks to be bees that have been trained to smell cancer in a human. This is still being tested, but looks very promising. So, CBS has a new training for bees. It's bees that can smell a good script. Also, bees that will attack shows like Ghosts or any other type of sitcom they will ever produce. I'm thinking the bees can be trained for a variety of other tasks, such as shitty drivers. Have a pack of trained bees in the back seat, and when a dumb fuck cuts you off, send the little winged assassins at said idiot, and bam, instant video that the Surgeon General can slap a warning label on when it hits TikTok 10 minutes later, right?
Yep.
This time, we here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone have no plans to ass paddle summer. We officially learned our lesson when we paddled Mother Nature, right?
Summer is part of Mother Nature.
Yes, but, you know, it's been pretty brutal here lately. And, you know, Mother Nature is kind of brutal on us. And then we gave her an ass paddling, and then we were like really, really getting, you know, I mean, she went crazy on us. And then we apologized.
Just for the record, it was you that brought her up for the ass paddling.
Yes, it was me.
Not me.
It was me. So, I'm officially saying, Summer, you're not getting ass paddling. We love you. That sound about right?
Yeah, and I'm going camping this weekend. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to save your camping trip by apologizing beforehand to Summer. And we love you, Summer. No problems with you at all. And Mother Nature, well, same to you. So, okay, so now, this is for you think you're having a bad day department. A couple from Greenfield, Iowa, that survived an EF4 tornado after it wrecked their home a few weeks back. They were found yesterday in critical condition from stab wounds at an I-80 rest stop. Can you believe that? They survive a tornado, and then they're out, I don't know, vacationing or going somewhere, and they get stabbed almost to death, and they might die still. They're in critical condition at a rest stop on I-80. They survive a tornado, an EF4 hitting their house and tearing it up, and they live through it, only to get stabbed 2 weeks later to almost death and maybe death at a rest stop. That's having a bad day to a horrible day. Agreed?
That's saying you need to wake the fuck up. Just saying.
If they survive this, I'm thinking they need
Sorry for the language, even though we can say it.
But, yeah, you know, if they survive this...
You need to wake up. Something's... You need to
it's not...
At that point.
Okay, it's not really... It's not their fault. I mean, you know, I mean, they got hit by the tornado, and then they're just driving down I-70. Maybe they're going to go see Aunt Betty or something, right? So... Anyhow,
okay.
They're at a rest stop, probably using the bathroom, and they get stabbed to almost death after being hit by a tornado. That's horrible luck. You know,
hey,
I mean,
well, that's strike. Yeah, once again, that's strike two.
If they survive this, I'm thinking they need to buy some lottery tickets, because when their luck changes, it will be huge. Agreed?
Yes, yes.
Now, let's examine Greenfield. I will never, ever live in a town named Greenfield. And that is because two towns named Greenfield were destroyed by tornadoes. One in Kansas, quite a few years back, and then the more recent one, Greenfield, Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't like having your house destroyed and your neighbor's house destroyed and being woken up at 2 a.m. by a huge supercell, don't move to any town named Greenfield. It will probably happen.
It is a Greenfield, Missouri, just for the record.
All right. I'm staying away from there. So. And finally, Washington Commanders to pay $1.3 million settlement in a Virginia season ticket lawsuit. It was a no minor accounting error that kept Washington Commanders fans from getting their security deposits back for tickets to upcoming games. It was simply greed, said Virginia Attorney General Jason Mayeris. Under the agreement, about $600,000 in security deposits could be returned to the team and could be returned to the seat owners, and the team will pay another $600,000 in fines as well as $100,000 in attorney fees. A spokesperson for the Commanders said, no problem. It isn't like we're going to be having to pay a good quarterback a lot of money anytime soon. So, that is a rather smaller edition of the first third. So, Rob, we turn to you.
All right, I'm going to go back to a legendary 80s movie.
Sounds good to me.
A little something I found out about it.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, the film made cars even cooler than ever, especially Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
Now, to celebrate the 43rd anniversary of the legendary film, its stars have reunited with both each other and the vehicle that made the franchise a must-see. Cannonball Run.
Oh. Oldie but a goodie.
Stars Adrian Barbeau and Tara Buckman were snapped with the iconic Lamborghini Countach LP400S, which they drove in the movie.
Nice.
Cannonball Run, released in June 1981, saw ladies star as Marcy Thatcher and Joe Rivers. Two spandex-clad racers who enter a cross-country car race starting in Connecticut. For the race, they chose a black Lambo for style as well as substance.
Cool.
They starred opposite of Burt Reynolds, who played competing racer J.J. McClure, with Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Jackie Chan and Farrah Fawcett also make an appearance.
I forgot Jackie Chan was in that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, after 43 years, they got back to Adrian Barbeau and Tara Buckman got back together.
Cool.
With that car and had a picture taken.
Okay.
I mean, come on, that was iconic in the movie world.
Yeah.
Especially does teenage boys.
Yeah. Yeah, that very cool.
Yeah, because they had spandex outfits, but mm-hmm. There was a lot of bust showing, just saying.
Oh, there was a lot of everything showing. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So, Rob, when I called you up, who was you listening to again?
I was listening to our friends at Let's get to the bottom of that.
That podcast is fantastic. If you if you like conspiracy theories, and they admit they are conspiracy theorists, okay?
And like I told you before we were on air, you and Jason have this mutual agreement where we give each other a shout out.
Well, it's not just a shout out.
Jason gave us one.
It's not just a shout out. We really, truly enjoy their show. It's a good show.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
You have a little bit more time than I do because I'm always working on this this pile of rubble. But, you know, I mean, I listen to it every chance that I get. So, and also I listen to other, I don't know, bigger shows and stuff like that, too.
Well, see, the thing is, they only put out one show a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting out four.
I know. He was amazed by our catalog. I was like, yeah, we'll mess around. We put out a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know.
We're bored.
Yeah, we're bored. That's it. No, actually, I'm anything but bored anymore. I always got something to do. I mean,
true.
Today I was getting this. I had to get the swimming pool ready, and it's been a real treat. Not really. Anyhow, so that.
Oh yeah, you need to hire me as a pool boy.
Come on up here. You're hired. Trust me.
I only charge you $50,000 a year just so I can live.
Okay. All right, you're fired. Sorry. Anyhow, well, all right. That is the opening segments. So let's take our first break and come right back. That sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, that's what will happen.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone. Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Is every mirror in a store technically used? I may never know.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Well, that new Hanson CD is just delightful.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
Damn it, the city services website is down again. I can't believe this. I'm going to have to actually call and talk to someone to pay my damn trash bill. This is ridiculous.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
Do you believe in love at first sight? Or should I walk by again?
Hello, this is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to two douchebags and microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Rob, we're both Sabbath fans, right?
Oh, definitely.
I've got two back-to-back stories, but you're going to do something in between. This first one is about Tony Iommi, and the second one is about Deep Purple. The two bands that I was questioned about, and then we went to you, and you felt the same way. Sabbath edged them out a little bit. I've got two good stories that I just found today. No, I think it's yesterday, but anyhow, it doesn't matter. All right. During the annual New Year message back in January, Riff Godfather Tony Iommi teased fans about a really good solo album that he's been cooking up in the studio. And now he's offered an update on its progress. The good news is it's coming along nicely and might use some orchestration, he said. The not so good news is there isn't a timeline for its release. An interview with Full Metal Jackie. Have you listened to Full Metal Jackie?
No, I have not.
She has an online show and a radio show and a podcast show, I believe, all of those. She's excellent. I mean, she's a metal chick, and she interviews names like Tony Iommi. So,
I've heard of her. I just have not had a chance.
Okay, I'm a big fan of her. Anyhow, the Black Sabbath legend says he's written a lot of stuff for the album, which would be his first solo record since 2005's Fused, and his first new music since featuring on Ozzy's latest album, Patient Number 9, in 2022. But I have a problem with this right here. Fused was Tony Iommi and Glenn Hughes. It was a split project, and both of their names was on it. It was not a solo project from Tony Iommi. It was Glenn Hughes and Tony Iommi together coming up with the Fused album. So I think they got that wrong. And if you doubt me, take a look at the credits and how everything is written. I'm pretty sure that it was a split album. It was a collaboration, and both of them got the equal amount of credit, which would make that not being a solo album. But you know what? I mean, whatever. Still, I'm writing stuff now for my own album, he says. That's exciting, and there's no pressure. I just do stuff when I feel like it, because obviously I've got a life to live and I like to do all different kinds of stuff. Last month, Iommi remembered the time he co-wrote a Black Sabbath song with Eddie Van Halen. Although the band was not able to credit the guitar legend for his contributions, because of contractual reasons. Remember that story? Eddie Van Halen couldn't.
I think it had something to do with contract.
I think it was their contract. Van Halen's was tied to Warner Brothers, so he is kind of a ghostwriter, if you will, a collaboration ghostwriter.
Right.
He couldn't get any credit on it, but anyhow. And in related news, Iommi's former bandmate Geezer Butler revealed plans for one final Black Sabbath show are afoot. And he and Osborne are already on board. And so Geezer, Iommi said yes. And Ozzy was the one that came up with the idea. Black Sabbath, the original lineup, with Bill Ward,
yes.
They want to do a final show in Birmingham, New England, where it all started, where they all came from. The thing that I read on Geezer the other day is Geezer said that he's not sure if Bill Ward, because of health reasons, would be able to do a full show. But here's what I'm thinking.
Think about Ozzy.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I think Ozzy's only good for maybe 6 songs. And I think it's going to have to be like that between him and Ward, maybe 6-7 songs. And that's it. They're going to have to stop. I mean, Ozzy, he's not in really good shape.
They're going to have a hell of a lineup just to get them ready for like 6 or 7 songs.
Yes. So
to make it worth the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about the money they charge and all that. Of course there's going to be scalping. You know, of course people are going to be wanting to go.
Come on, the money's going to be up there. You know, if they get back together, the tickets are going to be expensive.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be on their level. I don't think this is a money grab on their level. I think this is a respect deal. It's a respect deal.
Right. I think it is, too.
Ozzy feels
I think it is a thank you to all of us fans.
Yeah, for all I know, the tickets might be free. I don't know. But here's what I have to say is this right here. Osborne and company want to say thank you to where it all began. And also, it's a nice little bow tie to finish up their careers. You know, Sabbath is not going to be anymore, and he wants that final show, so I guess officially they're still together, and then when they do that final show, that will be it forever. Kind of like what Kiss did, you know, they said our last show, Madison Square Garden, then they promptly sold the rights to all their stuff, including their name. So, there's some Avatar company, I believe, and
Avatar company.
Yeah, so, I mean, this might be the same type of deal. I don't know if they're going to sell their music or whatever, or I don't even know who even owns it.
I do not see them doing that.
I don't either.
I don't. They're too classic. They're too.
Yeah, I think Iommi is really personal with the music that he comes up with. He really takes a really great deal of pride in it, and I don't see him giving up the rights to that for anything. So, anyhow, we'll see what happens. But I am convinced that if they do this show, that it will be the final show. And if Bill Ward can do six or seven songs, I think it will happen. So anyhow, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And here's what I'm hoping for. I was talking to Davey about this, and we both hope this happens. Pay-per-view. I would watch it on pay-per-view.
Yes.
I want to watch it live on pay-per-view, see the last one, have a little party, you know, and that's it.
Oh, you'll eventually find it, you know, but...
Yeah, but...
Yeah, pay-per-view would be best, I think.
Yeah, you know, if like...
I think they would make more money towards their retirement doing pay-per-view.
Yes, and I think that the interest would be phenomenal in it. So
yes,
yeah,
yes.
This
as
would
many Sabbath bands there is. Oh wow!
And this would be guaranteed the last show. There's not going to be another one.
Yeah,
they simply cannot do it anymore. So, and they need to get on it quick.
One and only, no tour.
Yeah, they need to get on it quick too, because Ozzy's health doesn't seem to be that good, although they're not saying that. I'm kind of reading between the lines, seeing footage, watching him, and Bill Ward is definitely in bad shape. Geezer's in great shape, and Tony Iommi for having leukemia in fantastic shape. So, anyhow, that's the way it stands, and we're going to go to you, and then we're going to come back to me for a Deep Purple story.
Okay, well, I'm going to stay in music, but I'm going to switch to country.
Okay.
The son of an all-time country music legend announced over Father's Day weekend that he has found a trove of unreleased work by his father, an archive of full band music and documentation way beyond his wildest fantasies.
Huh.
There will be a new classic Waylon Jennings
in
2025.
Yay!
Shooter Jennings promised on Instagram and Facebook, stay tuned.
That is fantastic.
Shooter Jennings began his post with the story of a locked storage room in the house he grew up in. I knew what was in those boxes was my dad's work, he wrote. He said that after his father's death, tapes were collected in storage in various studios and her content transferred to digital drives. But he hasn't, but he wasn't ready to grapple with them until recently. I didn't have the time, the tools, or the resources, he wrote. Or maybe I just wasn't ready to. That changed, he said, when he found himself with the right studio resources and an engineer ready to assist. He knew the trove might contain a few unreleased songs, he said, that he hoped to find something special and rare along the way that I could share with you. Instead, he said he found a massive historical documentation of a man and a band with an incredible friendship, work ethic, and deep passion for playing and recording music.
Wow, that is great news.
So it sounds like there is going to be a new Waylon Jennings album coming out in 2025.
I'm also a big fan of Shooter Jennings, too.
I have, too.
Wow, that's great, man. New Waylon Jennings music. Who would have thought? You know, that's
and
excellent.
Stuff that was stored.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic, man. And Shooter is doing his dad's legacy right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's right there. He's right there.
And that's awesome. Awesome. Good. Thank you, Rob. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that, you know, you and I are huge Purple fans, as in Deep Purple.
Yeah.
We know there's many incarnations of Purple. I mean, there's the famous MK1. I'll go through a little bit of it. The first one was with the singer Mike Evans. That was the first album, and that was the first lineup. The second lineup was with Ian Gillan as the lead singer, and, you know, Blackmore on guitar, Lord on keyboards, Pace on drums, and Glover on bass. A few years later, I don't know, maybe like 10 years later or so, Ian Gillan and Roger Glover both left, and David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes replaced them. Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale both did 4 or 5 albums with them, a couple with Ritchie Blackmore, and then a couple with not with Tommy Bolin, who passed away a long time ago in a car wreck. Okay, so to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all you need to do is make 2 albums with a band. So the Hughes Coverdale MK5 or whatever it is lineup, okay, they call it MK1, MK2, and all this. This is like MK5 or some incarnation of this lineup. So that that was so iconic in itself that both Coverdale and Hughes got to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Deep Purple was inducted. So, I think that's what's going on here, is I think that the other Purple members that, and now remember, Ian Gillan wasn't even an original member. They got him on the second album. I think that there is a certain amount of, they think that the other guys were frauds, and which they're not. The other guys are very accomplished musicians and very good, and they did great music with Deep Purple when they did it. So anyhow, Glenn Hughes says Deep Purple members were very hurtful and rude to him and David Coverdale. I will never speak to any of them again, said Hughes. Gillan was rude to me on stage, accepting the award. I went to congratulate him. He looked at me in the eyes like I didn't exist. Glenn Hughes recalled that he described as Ian Gillan and Roger Glover's rude behavior at Deep Purple's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, adding that he doesn't want to speak to any of them again. Hughes' time in Purple ended up being among the crowning jewels of both parties' careers. Having arrived just as a vocalist, Ian Gillan and bassist Roger Glover left. The voice of rock, albeit originally recruited as a bassist, provided a key component for the beloved hard rock band's 2-lead singer thing, alongside David Coverdale. Despite the impact that is his tenure with Purple left on the fans, the band's history, and that of rock music itself, there seems to be a little bit of love lost between the iconic singer and his former bandmates. Well, okay, Glover and Gillan he was never bandmates with, because that's who David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes replaced. So...
Right.
So, in a new interview with Guitar Interactive magazine, Glenn Hughes looked back on his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Deep Purple in 2016, and what he describes doesn't sound pretty. Referring to Gillan and Glover and drummer Ian Pace, Hughes said, via Louder magazine, I will never speak to any of them again, simply because they were rude. Both Roger, Ian, and Gillan were rude to David Coverdale and I. Very, very hurtful. I didn't give a fuck. Actually, it's because I knew they were rude to begin with. So, anyhow, he said, he went on to say, I was the only sober man there. I don't care about those guys. Gillan was rude to me on stage, accepting the award. I went to congratulate him. He looked me in the eyes like I didn't exist. The guy has a problem with me, period. I'll let him run with it. I feel bad for him. I'm really sorry about his wife passing away. His wife of 40 years died in 2022. I've tried to reach out to him. He doesn't want to know. The vocalist then went on to claim that he's been trying to mend his ties with Gillan for years, only to receive no response. I've tried to make some kind of friendship with him over the last 40 years. He doesn't want to know. David Coverdale and I don't exist to him. I wish him only the very best, but I have no time left for that behavior. And I find that disturbing because I think that Gillen, being he was the iconic member of Deep Purple and all those huge songs like Highway Star, Smoke on the Water, Woman from Tokyo, right? His voice was recognized pretty much as Deep Purple's voice. Now, I think that that kind of talent should be recognized the other kind of talent too. Glenn Hughes is almost his opposite on voice, and he plays bass very well. I don't know why Ian Gillan doesn't admire him like Glenn Hughes seems to admire Gillan. It baffles me why he would have a problem with him, because those guys left on their own. They weren't thrown out of the band. They left on their own. And then, you know, Ritchie Blackmore wanted to keep the band going, so he found a couple of really good replacements, and he went on and he did a hit album, Burn, which sold very well and had a top hit in it. I mean, it wasn't like these guys came in and just did shitty music. They came in and did really top-notch music, too. So, I don't understand. It's really disappointing that Ian Gillan, who I like a lot, would treat him like this or anyone else. So, anyhow, that's all I got. I'm off my pulpit. I just find it sad that they're acting like this. So, Rob, we turn to you.
Okay, well, I'm going to go into 14 jobs notorious for underpaying employees.
Okay.
And this is online.
Okay.
Teachers. Teachers working in elementary schools, aside from those in special education, make $63,930 annual on average.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't be
that. Yeah, I would agree with that, all the schooling they have.
Now we're getting lower.
Okay.
Next we have security guards. Security guard jobs bring in an average of $36,700.
Wow. That's pretty low.
Yeah. Some of these job titles and what they do, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Emergency medical technicians, EMTs. EMTs make about $40,120 a year annually.
Uh-huh.
For saving people's lives.
I know. I've known that, and that's why I'm not surprised by it. It sucks.
Okay, next, social workers. Despite a high level of responsibility, social workers earn relatively low pay, with the average of $55,350 annually.
That's another one you think would command a higher salary because of the working conditions, because of everything involved.
Yeah, I mean, your schooling you have to take to deal with these people, you know.
Yeah, and then also having to go into bad situations where kids are being abused, all different kinds of things. And having to try to, you know, you have to go to court a lot of times and witness, you know, tell the court what you witnessed. So there's probably people very mad at you, wanting to hurt you. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, they say it's very high stress.
Yeah, I would think it is.
I mean, you would have to keep, you know, that. You know, you just got to stay away from the emotions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be hard to do. It really would.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Okay. Next, nursing assistants. Nursing assistants make about $36,220 annually.
That is criminal also.
Orderlies. However, nursing assistants typically need to be certified through a state-approved program, while orderlies do not. For those reasons, orderlies tend to have lower annual salaries of an average of $36,070.
Wow.
Oh, wait a second. $36,220 to $36,070. That ain't much lower.
$150,
whatever.
Yeah. I'm amazed that they can find people to do these jobs for that amount of money, honestly.
Next, cooks. Cooks make about $33,940 annually. However, chefs and head cooks earn an average of $56,520.
I would probably rather have a good cook than a good chef any day. To me, a good cook realizes what good food is. A chef may not necessarily, by my experiences. Chefs tend to get a little crazy and extravagant and put like a couple of beans on your plate and a couple of little things of lettuce to make it look good. And then, to me, a lot of it is a big bag of nothing. Show and Ritz, cook. And that's it.
And cooks fill you up.
Yeah, cooks go and they cook your steak perfectly. Yeah. It's perfectly seasoned.
Yeah.
You know, the mashed potatoes are spot on with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of salt, you know. Some cracked pepper, where, I don't know, some chefs are really good, don't get me wrong, but some of them, to me, are just overrated as hell, and I don't think their food's nearly worth what they think it is. So, anyhow, go ahead, Rob.
All right, this next one. Honestly, with having a 3-year-old grandson right now, I think this is the saddest one.
Okay.
Child care workers.
Yeah.
The work often goes far beyond just playing with children, but the average salary is on the low end at just $29,570 annually.
No wonder they can't find people to do that job.
Yeah. And we're not talking nannies, we're just talking...
No, we're talking about daycare and all of that.
Yeah, daycare.
Yeah, so.
That sucks.
Well, yeah, no wonder there's so much bullshit that goes on in certain ones of them. I mean, yeah. You're not seeking out the best people. You're not commanding the best people with that kind of money. So.
Oh, yeah, you can't find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder. Never mind. I'm not going there.
Okay.
Okay, next, hairdressers and stylists.
Uh-huh.
The average salary for barbers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists is just $38,910 a year.
I would agree, but I will also say this. If you're any good at all, you're making $100,000, and I'm not kidding. You're always booked. You have people paying top money for your hair. And this goes to barbers and hairdressers both. A good barber, I know some barbers, and they're really good. And they make over $100,000 a year. And that's simply because everybody wants their hair to look good. And they will pay more to have the good guy do it.
Yes, I will give you that. I mean,
Your
late stepdad owned his own barber shop, so yeah.
You're talking about a Sports Clips or something like that, or whatever,
yeah. But still, here's the other thing that they did not mention in that.
Okay.
Tips.
Oh, that's another one too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. That's just their base salary.
Yeah.
Their tips. Oh yeah, that could put you over the top. Who knows?
Well, if they're any good at all, they're commanding good tips, I can tell you that.
All right, next we have delivery drivers.
Okay.
The average pay for delivery truck drivers and driver sales workers, which the BLS lumps together, is $35,560 annually.
That's really low.
Yeah, I mean, you're down in my wages, man.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And I'm down in the sticks.
I mean, they're really not talking about like UPS and FedEx drivers and stuff like that. Or postal workers. Postal workers, they get a lot of shit, and it's a horrible job because it tears you up.
I think they're talking like UPS and just deliver, you know.
Yeah, they're not talking about the big guys.
Amazon drivers, whoever, you know.
Yeah. Yep, I'm pretty sure that's what they're talking about. Or a guy that's in a courier service and he's taking checks, paychecks, on a Thursday afternoon to a high-rise in downtown, I don't know, Chicago or something. You know what I mean? Guys like that are courier services. They don't make that much money unless you own the service. Everyone else gets minimal pay. Pretty much.
Yeah. And the next one, okay. This one I've known to be the worst one.
Okay.
Janitors.
Yes.
An average annual salary for janitors is about $31,990.
Wow.
To clean up everybody's shit. Come on.
I think a janitor should get paid a lot more than that for cleaning up.
Oh, my God.
If they're a good janitor, I think they should get paid a lot more than that. But to be fair, a lot of janitors are there just to fuck off. Right?
Well, I've done janitor work plus maintenance, which rolled over into janitor. You know, when you're working in an office building for maintenance.
Well, yeah.
Is to go unclog a toilet, you know.
Yeah, there you are into the custodial arts right there. So, yeah.
Next, taxi drivers.
Okay.
The average annual salary for taxi drivers is $32,710.
Wow. For risking your life every night.
That's just your wages. But once again, you got your tips.
True.
Next, home health aides.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Work schedules vary since many people with disabilities or serious illnesses require regular care. The average salary remains on the low end at $30,180.
I'm surprised they have people do that because
those home health aides.
They go into very nasty situations and unpleasant situations.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe it pays that low, but then again, I can believe it.
Okay, and finally, retail workers can't leave you out.
Retail workers are notoriously underpaid because they have to eat shit all day long from these idiots that come in there. Well, not all of them. There's a lot of people that are nice, but certain people are going to be idiots and belligerent and mean to you and think they can step all over you. You know what I mean? So... yeah, I would agree with that, and it can probably not be a very fun job, so, anyhow.
Okay, well, here's the final tally on it.
Okay.
Despite wearing many hats, sales, customer service, and keeping stores clean, the average salary for retail workers has remained low.
I believe it.
At $30,750.
Wow, that's peanuts. Wow. Okay.
Okay,
wow.
Here, and this article does throw this in. Many of these jobs pay minimum wage or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, with the federal minimum wage still at $7.25 an hour, the pay for many difficult jobs has remained low.
Yep.
Okay, I know in Missouri our minimum wage is more than $7.25.
Yeah, I mean, the federal...
My baby brother just moved from Missouri to North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And our minimum wage is still $7.25.
That's insane.
In North Carolina with their cost of living.
That's insane. That really is. Wow. All right. We are way late for a second break. Let's go ahead and take that real quick. That sound good, Rob?
That's good, because I need to take a breath after all that.
All right.
Douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes in... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler?
Your mom is so ugly. Your dad takes her to work every day, so he doesn't have to kiss her goodbye.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camden, in Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, is Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
Beanbags are basically on the sofas.
Now, from the makers of the Who Bit My Asshole board game comes the Rob Rad Jigsaw Puzzle. That's right, put Rob back together. This brilliant glossy photo of Rob wearing a loincloth in a rainforest is the perfect stocking stuffer. Order now and get a free butt plug keychain.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
Punxsutawney Phil's babies are named Shadow and Sunny.
Oh, shit. What's that over there?
Oh, no. It's an island of horrible jokes.
What do you call a bundle of hay in church? Christian Bale.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
What the hell, bridge construction? Shit, I cannot believe I have to repair this bridge after 50 years. Man, what am I gonna do now? I can't like up 10 minutes earlier just to get to work. This is complete bullshit. I'm gonna write my congressman.
A lot of podcasts just come from a can. Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we pour our own podcasts.
All right, we are back. Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
All right. Well, you were talking about low-paying jobs.
Yeah.
I have a report on the restaurant industry, and this is the do's and don'ts of restaurants. This is how people feel. These are polls. And this is how people feel about certain things about restaurants and how people act towards it and what they do in them. So, first off, The restaurant industry is finally ending the horrible QR experiment. The QR codes began popping up during the pandemic. Yes, I know. During the pandemic and overstayed its welcome. I know many people, like I, missed a lot of the menu due to having to enlarge the page and skipping around. God forbid if you have a low battery. You know, if you have a low battery, you're not going to be able to see anything. Then you're at the mercy of someone else going, hey, do they have a cod sandwich? Oh, hang on a minute. I don't have any battery left. I can't tell. So, I mean, it was out of kind of necessity during the pandemic. Now that that's supposedly over, I'm glad that they're ending it because it was stupid. And I always asked for a paper menu, and for a while there, I couldn't get one around Kansas City, and it really pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
I would leave. I'd be like, all right, yeah, that's okay. We'll go somewhere that does have one. A lot of times,
yeah, you told me to look on my phone what you have on your menu, and I'm sitting in your restaurant.
Exactly. I would have respected a big board. A huge board that said that.
Yeah. I mean, most restaurants do have it on a big board.
Yeah, you have it on a big board. The meatloaf? Yeah. I guess I'll go with the meatloaf. That's $8.29 or whatever.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, at least I could tell some of the specials and stuff, but, you know, anyhow.
Well, like we have mentioned on here, a lot of us older people have harder times with technology on our phones.
And
you're expected to sit in a restaurant, get on your phone, and order your meal?
No. I mean, yeah.
Not bad. If I'm going to get on my phone and order my meal, you're going to deliver it.
Exactly. A lot of times, the QR code wasn't even compatible with certain phones. One time, we're at a restaurant during the pandemic. Both our phones, the QR code didn't agree with, and they said they didn't have any paper menus, and, you know, that they're probably, we didn't go back. So I made our server get on her.
That's when you tell them, grab a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yeah. Well, at this other restaurant, we made our server get on her phone and recite the menu to us. Guess what? They have paper menus and no more QR codes. So this leads to restaurant etiquette and a restaurant poll of people who frequent restaurants, the do's and don'ts, basically. A recent YouGov survey about the acceptability of 40 restaurant behaviors, 8 out of 10 people polled said it wasn't acceptable to say they won't pay for a dish they didn't like, but ate most of it. I agree with that. I've seen that done before, haven't you? They eat 3/4 of it and they go, I didn't like it.
Yeah, we dealt with that at Justin Jim's.
Yeah. Every restaurant I ever worked at when I was a teenager, we dealt with that. They'd eat 3/4 of it and go, oh, I didn't like it. Give me something else. And most of the times, it would be exactly like my reaction on it. Get the fuck out of here after you pay.
Yeah, but company policy says you got to give it to them.
Yeah, now they do. Now they're like that, but independent restaurants that I worked at before didn't do that a lot. They would be like, look, you ate 84% of it. Yeah,
You're right there. Yeah.
Now, speaking of 84% pay for a dish they didn't like, but ate most of it. 84% said they didn't like people who let their kids roam in the restaurant freely. I agree. Both of them are at 84%, so overwhelmingly people didn't like that, eating most of your meal and then saying you didn't like it and trying not to pay for it. And 84% also did not like it when the kids were free-range children inside the restaurant. I've had that happen quite a bit, and I can't stand it. Little kid comes over there and, like, staring at you eating your food and then making faces and running around screaming. It's like, no. It's like, if you have a kid that can't behave, get out of here. Have it delivered. Don't be fucking up my meal, and I'll be a real rude asshole about it, too. I've done it before. I told you about the time...
No, wait. Back in the day, there was a lot of dads that would just do a big yawn and just clothesline the little fuckers that come running by.
Yeah, well, that doesn't happen very much anymore. I was down at the city market.
With today's laws, you can't do that anymore.
Well, I was down at the city market, and our corner there is just me by myself. Yeah. I was reading a book, and I was drinking my iced coffee. And this guy over there near the front of the coffee house let his kid just run all over there. You know, there's a bunch of hills and stuff. It's all concrete. And he's running up and down screaming. So he walks over to my table and I'm reading. And before I could get up, he fucking grabbed my cup and drank out of it. So I walked over there to the guy with my cup and I said, "You can have this now. You know why? Your kid drank out of it. You know why he drank out of it? Because you were not watching him." And the guy he was talking to was like kind of like looking around, and that guy's just sitting there with his mouth open. And I walked off. He didn't say sorry or nothing. I could have beat that motherfucker to half to death. And anyhow, he's just sitting there going, and they got up and left. But anyhow, it pissed me off. So anyhow, an 85%...
Probably a good thing we're getting old.
Yes. If that had been my early days, I would shove that kid up his ass.
Yeah.
An 85% said that staying...
He came out of his mom, he went back up his dad.
Yep, and 85%, an 85% said that staying past the establishment hours wasn't cool as well. Other pet peeves of customers are when someone asks to taste the wine before purchasing it, asking for multiple modifications to the food item, taking an extended amount of time to order, and leaving no tip after bad behavior. I always leave a tip, but I will leave, like, not a very good tip if someone's horrible service, but I always do leave
a tip. I just seen all of them that you just read off.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that this says so far. Other notable behaviors that hit the do not list are: ask for a table near a power outlet to charge your phone. I've done that numerous times. I have an issue with that because as many times I've been on vacation after several airports and Uber rides and car reservations, my battery is down to nothing. And when I used to go out of town for work, I used to depend on restaurants to charge my phone up while I'm eating. So I kind of have a problem with that.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
I'm not used to doing that while I'm traveling because I normally don't travel.
Okay.
Although, just so everybody knows, this Saturday night, if reception allows me, I will be coming from an undisclosed location.
Yeah. That's going to be very cool. I hope you can get reception. So if not, we won't have one.
It sounded like I'm probably going to be able to, so we should be fine.
Okay, cool. I didn't agree with that.
Even though me or the other person don't know exactly where we're going.
Well, good luck. Another one was a large group of people that want to split the bill. I don't agree with that as well. Many times Val and I don't order an excessive amount of drinks when others in the party are four deep. Why do we want to pay for their habits? There's no way. They're like, let's just all divide this equally. And it's like, no, I had a Coke and a burger, and you had a steak and five scotches. Fuck you. You pay for your steak and five scotches.
I totally agree with
that. I've done that before. I go, no, we're not doing that. I know what we had, and we're just going to have to inconvenience the waiter, and he's going to have to split our part up. You guys can do whatever you want, but I'm not doing that. And that pisses me off because they're just trying to get by on you. They're just trying to get you to pay for their habits. Taking food photos are on here too. But I've done that before. Val's done that. I mean, you know, sending a dish back that wasn't made as specified. Asked to be seated before all their party arrives. I would rather have the extra room at the front myself. There's never enough seats or booths anyway at the front of the restaurant, right? So I like it when there's like a party of 30 and there's 27 there. When they seat them, then the other three people can gradually get there, but at least they're not in my way while I'm trying to sit down while I'm waiting for my table, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I don't agree with that. I like it when they sit them down, and the other people are going to be a half hour late. Why should those people have to sit there in my way that whole time when you could seat them down? They could have a couple drinks, maybe not order food yet. You know, just keep them on the back burner every now and then. Go, does anyone else want a beer? You know. but leave them on the back burner. They can go to their table, but I know why restaurants don't do that. It's because they want to fit as many people in those tables in the amount of time that they have. But anyhow, so. And then, 88% did not favor a place charging for tap water. I agree with that. And I've been to places that charge for tap water. It's like, what? It's like I'm buying a meal. The water doesn't come with it. So, no prices on the menu.
Yeah, when did they start charging for water?
Not all places do that, and I think most places backed off from that. Because
America was built on that.
Yeah, I would get up and walk out. I like a place that if you come in there and ask for water, they give it to you whether you're a customer or not, and they do it because they're decent people.
Right.
That's the kind of place I like to go to, not some snooty place that goes, no, it's going to be $3 for that water. So, no prices on the menu at 85, which I agree with. No prices makes me not want to buy a damn thing. 77% didn't like music being too loud. I agree with that. 77% also did not like the automatic 20% tip. Yes. Yes. And a lot of times you double tip because a lot of people people don't look down and go, oh, the 20% was already added. Yeah, you're a couple of drinks deep and you're not really thinking about it. And then you leave another 20% on there. That waiter's getting 40% because they added 20% on in small writing at the bottom of the bill. I don't agree with that, and I don't go to places that do that. There's a couple places in Eureka Springs that do that, and I don't go there anymore. Pisses me off. And
I would be all right with it as long as they told me up front.
If they told you, yes, but don't have it on the menu.
Yeah.
I agree. And then 75% didn't like dynamic pricing because they pretty much quit that. For a while, their restaurants were doing dynamic pricing, kind of like dynamic seating. Like Swordfish is like really in high demand for some reason, all of a sudden the price of that skyrockets. Beef tenderloin, if all of a sudden that's in high demand, the price skyrockets. But you don't know till you get to the restaurant, and then they go, oh, the dynamic pricing today, the beef tenderloin's going to be $57 for a small little, $157 for like a small little 14 ounce or something. And it's like, no. Keep your dynamic pricing. I'll go somewhere else. And then 54% do not like a place that does not take reservations. So, there's much more to this article, but because I think I've covered a lot of stuff on here, and so we can go back to you, I'm going to tell the other two sections of it next show. And it's the next one is just the percentages of what people liked and didn't like in restaurants. And so I don't want to do all this together. It's going to take up too much time. Instead, we're going to go to Rob for his next story.
A woman believed to be the oldest in the world is set to celebrate her up-and-coming 124th birthday in Brazil.
Wow.
As state officials plan her a party to mark the occasion. Okay, yeah, see, I thought I just did a story on the oldest person alive.
No, she was 116. Anyway. This lady's 120 something.
Well, I'm diving deeper into it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh my God, it's a Brazilian name.
Oh.
Amantina Os Santos de Verum. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
Also known as Dona Julia.
Yeah, go with that. Dona Julia.
Which I'm gonna even break it down easier. We're just gonna call her Julia.
Perfect.
It's said to have been born on June 22nd, 1900, exactly 6 months
wow.
before the death of Queen Victoria.
Oh, wow.
According to her pension records, this would make her the oldest living person in the world. Julie, who lives in Sierra Gadas in the state of Paraná, reportedly thrives on boiled eggs, and please forgive me on this, Bolo de...
Okay, a Brazilian dish.
P-O-L-V-I.
I'm going to say it's Brazilian fried eggs and sausage. That's it.
No. the boiled eggs. But the other is a traditional local cake made with kielbasa flour.
Kielbasa flour? Okay.
C-A-S-S-A.
Oh, I thought you meant kielbasa like the sausage. Okay.
No, not the like the sausage.
Okay.
Kielbasa.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Here gives our ridiculer something else to get us on.
Yeah. No,
we said, Rob, try pronouncing this stuff, dude.
Rob, you know what I'm doing? I'm saving all the hate email for one special segment.
Yeah, that's probably best.
Oh, I got every one of them. I found every one of them that I deleted and all that stuff. I decided this the other day. And we're going to go through them and just make fun of them, ridicule them, or say, yeah, okay, you're right. Like if they go, you guys butcher the language, I'm going to go, yeah, true, but it's still free. So anyhow, there's quite a few of them.
Our social worker said that she doesn't have diabetes, headaches, or high blood pressure.
Good for her.
Julia doesn't take medicine, and she doesn't have gray hair.
Wow.
She loves wearing earrings and bracelets, she said.
That's amazing.
Now, it shows a picture of her. She don't have gray hair.
Wow.
She's an old, shriveled up old lady.
But no gray hair. That's interesting.
Here's the bullshit part of it.
Okay.
Although her age is recognized by the Brazilian government, Julia has been denied a place in Guinness Book of World Records because of a mix-up with her birth certificate. However, her birthday was confirmed by statements from four people aged more than 70 who had all known her for at least 20 years.
Wow. It sounds like she is that old, but they just can't prove it because mix up with the birth certificate. I think that who cares if Guinness doesn't recognize it? I think everybody knows that it's true. So, wow.
Yeah, according to Brazilian news outlet Banda B, Julia spent a significant chunk of her life on the streets and was adopted at the age of 100. By a woman named Maria Edner de Alameda.
Wow. Okay.
But Brazil still plans on putting her a birthday party.
Good.
They put her on one last year. for 123rd.
Mm-hmm.
The current Guinness World Record holder for oldest person is American-born Spanish super centurion Maria Baranas.
Okay. All right.
Whatever.
Okay, good enough.
He turned 117 on March 4th this year.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Rob. Wow.
That might be the one I had the story about earlier.
It could have been.
Because I had one about the Guinness Book, the world record holder.
Mm-hmm.
That may have been that gal.
It might have been. Who knows?
This gal beats her out.
Yep. Wow. Okay, well, all right. We have a new, besides not available, number one in America, and that's Boardman, Oregon.
Yes.
And then we have a new newcomer in the top four, and that is Tappahannock. Tappahannock. Let me see where that's...
Yeah.
Where was that at, do you remember?
I pulled that up here while back. Hang on. Let me go into my Google. I still got my history.
Oh, good. Oh, it's in Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia. That's right.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you, Tappahannock and Boardman. You've been on our board for quite a while. And
yeah,
Columbus.
Virginia.
Columbus, Ohio is just booming. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Ashburn is doing really well. Of course, Kansas City. Harrisonville's hanging in there strong. Phoenix is a big up-and-comer. Thank you, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Brussels, Belgium, still doing great there. The other Kansas City, doing solid there. St. Louis, we gained a lot of listeners. We appreciate that. A lot of downloaders or whatever you want to call them. San Jose, California, quite a few. Even some in Raymore. Savannah, Georgia, Denver come in, big and bad.
Raymore.
Yeah. Yep, Raymore has quite a few.
That could be either of our friends.
Yeah. Yep, who knows. But anyhow, thank you.
I have a lot of friends in Raymore. So.
Well, thank you. We got quite a few hits from there. We appreciate it. And when you guys hear this, send me an email. Let me know who you are. We'll give you a shout-out or whatever, or just make up some really good lies about you or something. Right?
Sounds good. That's what we do.
All righty. Well, we are going near 120 on this, so let's go ahead and wrap a bow on this bitch and call it good. You want to do that?
Sounds good. I got to get ready for my camping trip.
Yep. Oh, do you work tomorrow or not?
Yeah, I work tomorrow, and actually, I'm supposed to work all day Friday, but... I don't know. Will Foreman quit today? I might take off half a day Friday.
Yeah, go camping early, man.
Get ready to go. Yeah.
All right. I'm really interested in how this on remote location comes out. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. So, anyhow.
Oh, no. It's going to be the same as we are right now.
Okay. All right. Cool.
It just depends on whether I have reception or not.
All right. Cool. Well, if not, then...
To be honest, neither one of us know exactly where we're going.
So there's a chance there may not be reception. So we warned you guys right now, that there may not be a show.
Saturday night, there may not be, but I'm going to hope there is. And if there is, there's going to be a bonfire going, all kinds of stuff.
That should be pretty interesting. So anyhow, hi Grandma Opal, hi Jimmy, hi Ricky.
Hi Grandma, hi Jimmy, hi Ricky,
and
everybody
in Dodge City, Kansas. Thank you guys, we love you. Rah rah, D Town. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.